Well, maybe you feel like the question in the bulletin this morning is the sermon title, Can God Handle Your Complaint? Might be a little ridiculous. God's almighty. He can handle anything. But, you know, it seems like as human beings, maybe that's a consequence of sin, that one of our great sins that we really don't call a sin is complaining. It certainly was a problem Paul had to deal with in the early church. That's why he wrote all those letters, arguing and complaining. Jesus had to deal with it. I mean, the scribes and the Pharisees and the leaders of the Jewish community complained about Jesus continually because his message was so radical. But you know, I think the all-time leader who had to put up with the most complaining was poor old Moses. You know, he didn't want the job in the first place. I mean, he didn't want to go back to Egypt and save his people. He didn't think he could do it. He didn't think he was a good enough leader. He didn't think he was a good enough speaker. So God gave him Aaron to go with him so he didn't feel so alone. And they went through the whole routine, delivered the people out of captivity. And right from the start, they were complaining. I mean, that has to be an over 40-year job of a leader dealing with daily complaining and griping about what's going on and what we don't have and what we used to have, and I wish we had that because we don't have it as good now. And it was just yakety 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 yak, complaining, complaining, complaining. Oddly enough, this sermon is a continuation on prayer. Did you know that the Bible had designed a prayer so you can complain? Did you know that? I mean, I don't know whether God provided for that after leading the people out of captivity, but certainly something needed to be done to deal with the issue of complaining, because a lot of people died because they complained. Do you remember that in the stories? I mean, they'd complain about something, and God would just, I mean, he was kind of short-tempered then, apparently. And, I mean, here he had done this great miracle, all of these miracles and signs, parted the Red Sea so they could escape the Egyptian army, and they start complaining. And, you know, there for a time, he'd just strike a bunch of them dead. And so one of Moses and Aaron's big jobs was when people complained too much, they'd just throw themselves down on the ground and start praying really hard. Don't kill too many people, God. Please don't wipe them out. And through the years, over 40 years, complaining, complaining, complaining. This has been a part of my devotions as I go through this four-year cycle that I use. So I've been reading all of this in Exodus and Numbers. And in the 21st chapter, they are complaining again as usual. And, you know, they just love it. They're just really great at complaining. And here's what they said. And this mirrored what they said again and again and again and again. They set out from Mount Hor along the Red Sea Road, a detour around the land of Edom. The people became irritable and cross as they traveled. Well, this is the season that happens a lot, too. We go on vacation, and people in the car get irritable and cross. They spoke out against God and Moses. Why did you drag us out of Egypt to die in this God-forsaken country? No decent food, no water. We can't stomach this stuff any longer. This is the Message by Gerald Peterson. This is not a strict translation, you might guess, from that language. So God sent poisonous snakes among the people. They bit them, and many of them died. The people came to Moses and said, "We sinned when we spoke out against God and you. Pray to God. Ask him to take these snakes from us." And so Moses prayed for the people. And God said to Moses, "Make a snake of bronze and put it on a flagpole, and whoever is bitten and looks at it will live. So Moses made a snake of fiery copper and bronze and put it on top of a flagpole. And everyone bitten by a snake who then looked at the copper snake lived. I mean, this is just one among hundreds of complaining sessions that poor Moses had to deal with. I mean, complaining was such a ritual part of the life with God's people that Moses actually got frustrated over a complaint about wanting water, that he didn't listen to God closely. And when God told him what to do to get water, I just think he was just so worn out from so many years of complaining. He just wanted to get it over with. And instead of waiting for the water to flow out at the rock of Marah, he struck it with his staff. And he lost his chance to go into the promised land. Now, from my point of view as a pastor of a church, I think he just got so frustrated with the pain and the complaining. He just wasn't paying attention, just wanted to get it over with, and didn't pay attention to God, because that can be so distressing. So God gave us a way to deal with that. I mean, we're experts at complaining. I guess it's born into us. It's a part of our sin nature. But in Jeremiah, God says, you're going to complain. You're going to lament. Lament sometimes means mourning, sorrow, grief. But most times, particularly in the Psalms, it's about we have a complaint. And sometimes that complaint's with God. Did you know it's okay to complain about God? You ever thought about that? God's big enough. God can handle it. The prophets did it all the time. They just got frustrated with him. He gave them jobs that just, you know, they didn't feel like they were equipped for it. And so they just complained to him. They complained about him. And that's okay. That's a lament. But you see, we just complain to each other and get other people complaining with us about this and that and the other, and it just rolls around, makes everybody miserable. God gave us a prayer called a lament. And that lament was how we can go to God with our complaints. I guess after delivering all those people from Egypt and hearing that for over 40 years, God said, I got to give them a way to deal with this better, because, you know, them complaining, me wiping them out and changing my mind, that's getting rough. So we've got this prayer of lament, and David used it all the time in the Psalms, where he would just go to God and say, okay, God, I got a bone to pick with you. Here's my complaint. And sometimes it was about personal issues. Sometimes it was about issues as a leader, as a king, as a leader of military, how things were going politically. Sometimes it was about what was happening in the life of the community. There were laments, prayer complaints that the whole community joined in. Why are you doing this to us, God? And you go to God. And this complaint had a model. In other words, you call on God and let him know you got an issue with him. And then the second thing you do is you give him a description of the trouble you're in, the distress you're facing, or the complaint you have with how he's managing the world. Now, this might seem a little radical to you that we can complain about how we perceive God is managing the world, but you see, God's big enough to handle that. You know, when somebody comes to us and complains about how we're handling something, you know, we get defensive and we start protecting ourselves. But God knows what he's doing. So when we come with our complaints, he listens. He's in control. He's got the power. He's not threatened by us. But you see, in this kind of prayer, we can deal with our frustration. We can just pour it out there. And then we make a plea to God. Now, this is what we want. This is how we want you to fix things. This is what we want to happen. And then it sort of changes. You see, once you pour out your negativity and your complaint and your issues and your frustration with life situations, other people, and even God, and you say what you want, you just kind of hit a peak, and then it turns into remembering how much you trust God, how much you appreciate a God that will listen to you saying all that stuff, who is there for you even when you're being so negative. And then you finish off with what you really believe God is going to do. What kind of blessing that you can just put it all in God's hands, and you don't have to be specific. Because this God who cares enough about you to listen to your complaining and your whining knows what's best for you. And so the lament works us around to a good place. You know, I remember the old Hee-Haw show. I guess there are a lot of people here too young to remember. How many people remember Hee-Haw being on TV? Okay, and you know, somewhere in there was this feature, you know, woe is me, misery and pain. If I didn't have bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. And then they go into some comedic thing about how bad things were. I bet you didn't know that was a lament. See, if you offered it to God, it's a lament. I don't care how bad things get, how messed up they are. We can offer it to our God. And in the process of offering, God will turn us around to where we're looking at His goodness and His love and His trust, and we just leave all that mess that we've been complaining about in God's hands. But you see, as humans, we don't do that. I mean, we've got to create radio shows where you can call in and complain about things. We got to have TV shows that are basically made up of people complaining about something, whining about something, making a big deal of ain't it awful. I mean, we even have political shows where it looks like the primary purpose of these political, you know, they're, you know, people come and they're dressed in suits and stuff. But, you know, basically they're complaining about what the other party is or isn't doing. I mean, our whole life is reading stuff, hearing stuff, and watching stuff about complaining. And so we just join in and we complain all the time and wonder why nothing gets fixed. God says, bring it to me. Bring it to me. I'll take care of it and I'll take care of you. That it's okay to complain even about me. I mean, if you think I've messed up, come tell me. I can handle it. You know, since God's all-knowing, you know, when you read the Bible, you get a lot of questions that come into your mind. You know, why was God so impatient with those people He delivered out of Egypt? But later in Scripture, He invites us to come and complain. Gives us a prayer form that says it's okay to complain about anything, even me, Almighty God. One of my favorites is Psalm 13. You know, that's sort of the classical Hee-Haw sort of thing. Normally when we read it, it's how long, O Lord? But in this paraphrase, I'd like to read it to you. Long enough, God. You've ignored me long enough. I've looked back at the back of your head long enough. Long enough, I've carried this ton of trouble, lived with a stomach full of pain. Long enough, my arrogant enemies have looked down their noses at me. Take a good look at me, God, my God. I want to look life in the eye so no enemy can get the best of me or laugh when I fall on my face. I've thrown myself headlong into your arms. I'm celebrating your rescue. I'm singing at the top of my lungs. I'm so full of your answered prayers. You know, real short psalm starts out with a lot of complaining, a lot of suffering, a lot of anguish, a lot of misery. But it ends with that beautiful phrase, I'm so full of answered prayers. You know, we can complain in the church. We can complain in schools. We can complain in society in general, in our nation, in our world. And I don't know that it's going to accomplish much of anything. Might stir people up to vote, and occasionally it stirs people enough to change a little bit. But we can go to God every time we have a complaint. Every time we're sorrowful, miserable. Every time we feel like the world has kicked us in the teeth. Every time we think God's been unfair and hadn't blessed us as much as we thought he would for being his people. We can go to him, call on his name, lay out our complaints and our troubles, plead to him for what we want, and as we go through that process, we get more centered on Abba Father, who cares about us. And then we end up saying, everything's going to be all right. You take care of it. You've heard me. You've listened. Have you ever tried to share what we call constructive criticism with someone? Years ago, Bill Glasser said, no one likes criticism, even constructive criticism. And I think it's true. More thought about that. Even when somebody's sharing constructive criticism, it still hurts when they're talking about something they don't like in you and want you to change. And the whole time that's going on, we're trying to think of ways to defend ourselves and to deal with it. We've got a God that's so all-powerful. He's not threatened by anything we complain about, anything we say about him. He's focused totally on us when we come to him in prayer. So if you want to really accomplish something with your complaining, take it to God in prayer. If you want to experience a difference in your life instead of a downward spiral, take it to God in the lament. And just put it out there. And in the process, watch and see if God doesn't change your heart to be drawn closer to him. That's what our prayer life's all about. Being drawn to God, even when we start out with negative complaining, our God welcomes us openly. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we know we're such a hard bunch of people to deal with in the church. No wonder people outside of the church don't want to be a part of us. Even when we have legitimate concerns, we seem to handle it in a worldly way instead of through prayer. We'd rather tell half a dozen other people than come to you and let you help us resolve it. We don't quite understand why we're that way. Maybe misery really does like company, but you don't want us to be miserable. You want us to be filled with your joy, your life, your good promises. So you've taught us that with the lament, we can come to you with any complaint, any struggle, no matter how negative. And if we'll lay it before you in prayer, just in that process, you will move us back towards wholeness through your love. May we find you in all of our prayers, but especially when we're complaining about the things of life and getting nowhere. Help us to find you, Father. We ask this in the name of your Son, who taught us the power of prayer, Christ Jesus. Amen.